Well, Sarah and I wanted to thank all of you all for coming out tonight. You're very welcome here, and my mind is a little bit blown because it seems sometimes I wear a hat in one place and then a different hat in another, and tonight all of our worlds are just kind of combining in one, and so I'm just overwhelmed. I have three pastors that I've sit under here tonight, and so we're just very blessed. So we also have our director for medical missions outreach is here, Brother Bradley Edmondson. And for a while, we sought God's counsel on how he was going to have us to do missions. And so talking to my pastor, we met Mr. Dan DeLong, and then through Dan, met Bradley Edmondson. I was able to go with them on a trip to Ecuador. And just thought, these guys know what's going on. They're very gospel-centered and focused. Have very compassionate hearts, always work with the local church, and it really fit our philosophy for ministry. So thank you, Brother Bradley, for coming.
Well, good evening, y'all. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be able to be here and be a part of the service tonight as we think about all that God has done. 16 years ago when God opened the door for my wife and I to start medical missions outreach, we really had no idea what we were doing, if I'm just completely honest with you. We knew we had a burden. We had gone to South America, had been a part of a medical team there. We saw an incredible response to people coming that needed care, that were just looking for someone to compassionately and ethically care for them. And as we stood there with all of these scores of people around us, I kept telling my wife, we got to get the gospel to these people. They're begging to come see us, to ask us questions about medical-related problems. But what happens if their problems are so great that they don't have a chance to live much longer? We got to get the gospel to these people while we can. And so from there, we started medical missions outreach. And when we did, we really expected it just to be once a year. We would call some friends from school, people that we knew in the medical communities, and we were going to go partner with a church planter, and we were going to help that church planter reach his community. And it was very quick that God was going to do something drastically different. We had more people saying, I want to be a part of something like that. I want to use my skills to get the gospel message out. And so people started coming out and people started partnering with us by the dozens. And what was going to be just one trip a year turned into 3 and 4 and then 10 and 12. And it went from being just medical clinics to optical clinics and dental clinics and then surgical teams. And a few years ago, we were in Honduras and we were working, and we had had a particularly frustrating week. The local hospital, just because of the corruption that was involved there and the lack of supplies and just a lot of different things came about. In a source of frustration, a surgeon that was with us, he sat me and the missionary down, Matt Goins, and he said, something's got to change here and you two can do something. I said, all right, well, what do you want us to do? He said, I want you to build a surgical center. I kind of laughed, and I was like, yeah, right, I'm not interested in that. A few weeks later, we got back to the States, and the missionary called me, Matt called me, and he said, Bradley, I've been praying about the surgical center. Have you been praying about it? I said, no, I haven't. He said, well, how about we start praying about it? I said, you pray about it. If I think about it before I eat, I might mention it there, but I just don't know, Matt. I got enough going on. I don't know that I could. I don't even know where to begin. To make a really long story short, God allowed our lives to see so many things happen in a short amount of time. To see what was just really something that seemed like a pie in the sky dream that could never come to fruition, come about in such a beautiful way. My faith, even though I knew God had called us to serve him in this capacity, if I'm completely transparent with you tonight, my faith was so small, I didn't know that God would provide the funding. I thought that would never happen. We would never be able to build something like that. And then God did. And then we got the funding, and I thought, well, God, it's going to take somebody really special to want to leave the States to go and serve in Honduras. And God's greater than that, too. And he sent us a very special couple. From the time I talked to Jason on the phone to the time we met and we served together in Ecuador, it's apparent that God has been preparing him for this for quite some time. We got the cream of the crop. I believe that. I could not think of somebody more perfect for the position that he's going to fill within our ministry. I told him on the phone the other day, I said, Jason, I know I'm probably not the best communicator, but if I can tell you that you have been a direct answer to prayer from me, an encouragement from God to me to send someone of your skills and ability to tell me that you feel called of God to go and serve in this position, it blows me away that God would be so good to us. My life verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. When I get to thinking about this passage of scripture, I can't help but notice that there is an absolute divine promise that he will guide our lives. And I think Jason and Sarah, y'all are seeing that firsthand. God has prepared you in so many unique ways. They say the Inuit people in Alaska, they may have very well-traveled paths that will get them from villages to villages, but in the middle of a severe snowstorm, no matter how well you know your paths and no matter how well you may know the direction, in the middle of a severe snowstorm, you can get lost very quickly. And they say that the Inuit people will put up tripods that have a reflective tape around them to help light it up, because even in the smallest amount of moonlight can glint off of the reflective tape and they can keep path of where they're supposed to be traveling and find the direction of where they're supposed to be going. I think in our life, God erects these tripods through scripture, through studying his word, through the people that he brings into our life that continuously keep us on target, keep us on path, even when there's storms in life that come, even when there's times that we don't even understand where we're going or exactly where this road is leading, we can follow those little glints of light that God has in his word for us. And for me, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is definitely one of those passages of scripture, because when I look at this and he tells me that he shall direct my path, the first thing that I know about this is that he's going to do this on a daily basis for me. I don't have to worry about if he will guide. He absolutely will guide me. And Jason, Sarah, he's guided you this far. He's not going to let you down now. I hope you understand that this path he has you on is very personal, that he's been doing things in your life since before you two even met to prepare you for this, that since you've met, he's put places and people and opportunities in your pathway to prepare you for this wonderful ministry opportunity that he has for you. And this is absolutely God's personal will for your life, that he's put you there. He hasn't called anybody else, and I'm glad. I'm glad it's y'all. I'm glad that I get to serve alongside y'all, to rub shoulders with y'all, and I cannot wait to see how God is going to use you to reach so many more people for the kingdom. And it's exciting to know that this is something that you can grasp hold of, that you can claim that this is your personal calling. God laid this on your heart to go and to seek after. I think that he directs us straight and plain to our journey's end. I think that God's guidance is also very practical for us too. Whenever he tells us that he'll direct our path, it's very practical. We needed a medical professional, and it's very practical that God has directed your path in life to be a medical professional with a heart that wants to serve him. That's about as practical as you can get, that God has prepared you for this moment in life, for this opportunity to serve him. And this evening, if I can encourage you, there's no doubt that every single person in this room, God has practically prepared you to do something for his glory as well. There's not a person in this room that he cannot use you to do something, to accomplish something great for his cause. But I'm glad that he's practically prepared you for this, because we need you. We need your skill set. I tell people all the time, to be a medical professional is a God-given talent. I think we were discussing a little bit of that in Sunday school this morning, because not everybody has the stomach to handle the blood and the guts and the sights and smells of medicine. That's not for everybody. Not everybody has the mental recall to know what to do in those emergent situations, but God's given that to you. And Jason, I'm so thankful that you said, God, it's what you've given to me, and I'm willing to give it back to you. And God, you take this and you use this for your honor and your glory, because it's practical the way he's prepared you for this. And I think the Lord is vitally interested in directing us in every area under all circumstances. And I believe that his guidance is absolutely perfect. It's perfect. Jason and I sat down this afternoon and we were talking about a few things. And I said, Jason, just to be honest with you, you're helping us. We're growing. This is a grassroots effort here. I've never built a surgical center before. I've never had someone that's joined us full-time to move to another country yet. Jason's our first international missionary, and I'm so excited about it. But you know what? I firmly believe with all my heart that God's will is perfect. It's infallible. It's reliable. It's trustworthy. When he lays it on your heart to follow after him, he will see it through safely to the journey's end. And I'm so excited that his perfect will lead you to serve alongside us. And I also believe that his guidance is patient. I'm so thankful for that he leads us step by step. He's been patient with us. to get us to this point. And as I think about this and I think about what God is going to do in your life and what he's going to do through your family's ministry, I know for a fact that he's going to use you to do great things. In Luke chapter 9, verse 2, Jesus sent the disciples out and he tells them to preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. I think there's a good correlation there for us to learn from, and that's what we're doing. Jason, your goal when you get to Honduras is not just to be the best medical doctor, it's to be the best evangelist you can possibly be in that community. That your goal there is not to just build a great medical clinic and a great practice amongst the people there, it's to build the name of Jesus Christ in that community. That you're to be a good church member and a good servant there alongside the other missionaries, and I guarantee your family, Sarah, I'm so excited for what your kids are going to learn on the mission field. I'm so excited that Jason has a helpmeet like you that's going to be there to uplift him and keep him strong in serving. God's will for your life is so beautiful. It's so perfect. And I hope that you do not lose sight, no matter what comes up, that you trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understandings, even if it doesn't make sense to you. If God's got his plan and he's got his place for you and you know where you're supposed to be serving, lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he's going to keep you safe. He's going to keep you well protected and well supplied, and he's going to keep you there doing exactly what he has called for you to do, and he will be glorified in all of it. If thou but suffer God to guide thee and hope in him through all thy ways, he'll give thee strength whatever betide thee and bear thee through the evil days. Listen, as you go out into the mission field, some people say, well, I feel sorry. They're leaving everything in America. They're selling their home and a career where he could have made maybe so much money as a doctor and all those things. I don't feel sorry for you all. In fact, I'm envious of you. I'm thankful God's given you this opportunity to be able to sacrifice what things people hold of value here on earth to go and serve the King of all kings. Jason, I'm excited for what God's going to do through your family. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of tonight. I'm so excited for how our ministries are going to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Thank you.
If you don't know it, it's not.
I'll express our thanks, and it goes beyond me to say how thankful we are for the people in this room and the people that we've met and those 70 churches that we were able to visit. We've just met so many kind Christians along the way, and have been very encouraged by that. But thinking of our church here, there's just so many friendships that we have formed. Sarah and I started attending here at Spring Hill Baptist in 2002. And it was right about the time that Open Bible had joined with Spring Hill, and I just happened to come about that time and saw that beautiful young lady that was playing the piano at the time. And so, but through 17 years, we've just made some amazing friendships, and we've had people that would mentor us and have just meant so much to our lives. But even beyond that, Sarah and I have both been privileged to be able to sit under good Bible teaching that has always kept the Bible, the emphasis, and so we've been very grounded in that. We've been around people that have modeled a good and generous giving spirit, and we've just seen that so much expressed in all the folks that are helping to contribute, not just financially, but prayerfully, in the different ways for us going to Honduras. And so I can truly say that this church has become our family. And so, but among that, I mentioned that we've had three pastors that I've been able to sit under. And I'll introduce them as we go along. But we've always sit under pastors that have had a missions emphasis. And so I remember having missions conferences growing up where we would have the missionaries come to our house and we would eat dinner together and learn of other cultures. And Sarah had that same experience with her growing up. And then it's just always been part of the churches that we've been involved with. And so you all have modeled that. And Sarah grew up listening to missionary stories, you know, from her mom in homeschooling. And now she's going to get to live out one of those stories. And so it's just amazing to see that happen. So I wanted to tell you our intent on missions, and one of the questions I get asked all the time in the many churches we've visited is why we would do this, why we would leave everything that we have known and go to Honduras. The best way that I can answer that is in Romans 12:1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so Sarah and I both believe that if God would send his son to come to earth to die for our sins, and we're celebrating that this time of the year in Christmas, but if he would come to earth and live for us and die, then it's the least that we could do to give our lives to live for him. And so we felt this calling in our lives, and we're so glad that God has opened the door for it. Our intent is, as we said, to move to Honduras, and we'll be joining with the Iglesia Baptista El Faro, Lighthouse Baptist, and where I'll be serving as the administrator for the surgical center. I'll be coordinating with the local doctors. And so we, as the Americans, we don't come in and just say, we got to do it our way, our way's best. You know, they work really hard down there, and we want to come alongside those folks and help meet the needs of those people, that at the same time sharing the gospel. And so that's been our intent. And we're very excited to join with the church down there. They're very godly people. Whenever I first went down with Brother Bradley, Sarah and I and Bradley went down to meet Matt Goins, and so it was really exciting. I don't believe in signs, and there's not been any bright lights or anything along our way, but we were talking about where we were at and our churches, and he told me that one of his supporting churches was Alderson Baptist Church, which was the church that I grew up in. And so that evening I sent Brother Ed an email, and I thought, if he's been supported by Alderson for 14 years at that time, then these people must be good folks. And so that was a really good signpost along the way as well, too. And when we go over these next year, we're going to have a lot of struggles, and we really appreciate you all praying for us. Sarah and I know enough of Spanish just to get ourselves in trouble. We can navigate around and try to order something from the restaurant, but if I say, hey, how you doing, welcome, you know, how can I help you today, then when they tell me about their medical stuff, it goes right over my head. And so we've got a lot to learn, and I thought that being fluent would be just, you know, being able to share the gospel, and then I got a medical textbook in Spanish, and so I've got that language to learn too. And so, but pray for us, pray as we adapt to the culture there. It's definitely different, and so the foods are different, the smells are different, there's tarantulas and scorpions and things that we don't have here in the United States, and so there's going to be a lot of adjusting to do, so pray for us as God leads you there. So what will happen, I hate to say this out loud, over the next 32 days, we're going to be leaving January the 9th. That's something to say out loud, isn't it, Sarah? And so we'll be packing our things, and we have a pallet. God has graciously brought a shipping agency that's going to be able to help get some of our supplies down there. And so it'll be in Honduras whenever we arrive. And so we'll be packing and everything. We have a few weeks to spend with our families. I figured our parents would never forgive us if we moved before Christmas. And but we'll do all that in preparation for leaving on January the 9th. And so, but I just wanted to also say that our world has gotten a lot smaller in our lifetimes, and it's just an easy thing to email somebody anymore. You just pick up your phone and do that. But there are apps that allow us to talk to each other. I'm sure you all have used FaceTime. FaceTime still works in Honduras, and so you're very welcome to keep in contact with us. And so even though it may seem 3,000 miles away, it is really not. And so that our technology allows us to keep talking to grandparents and watching kids grow. And even last year, I had a chance to go to Nicaragua with Medical Missions Outreach. And that Wednesday night, we had the teens that we Skyped in with the teens and was able to tell them real time what we were doing in Nicaragua while they were watching us on the big screen on a Wednesday night. And so stay connected with us, okay? We would really appreciate that. So, all right. I think the next one is a congregational song, right? Is that it? Okay. Our next speaker is Brother Mark Patton, and whenever Sarah and I were courting and getting ready to marry, we were going to get some marriage counseling, and we went to Pastor Spradling, if you all remember him, and he goes, you know what, you need to talk to your new pastor about this. And very wisely, he directed us to Mark. And from that point, that established a friendship with us that has endured. Brother Mark is the pastor that, for any given specific time, he's the pastor that I've sat under the longest for his preaching. And so there have been many evenings or days that I would go to his office and talk to him about seeking God's will, particularly in missions, and how that would look in our lives. And from whether that was eating out or talking and praying together, he's been a mentor and a friend, and I thank you very much for help, for coming tonight. So.
Well, good evening. I hope to provide just a little bit of encouragement, Jason and Sarah, to you here in just a minute. But before I get started, I think every Christian should have landmarks in their minds of answered prayer to which they can return, right? When they doubt whether or not God is still faithful. Are we honest enough with each other, right, to admit that there's times in our lives where we doubt whether or not God is still faithful? And I hope there are things in your life that you can go back to and look at those things and have them be landmarks. And Pastor Dean, I just wanted you to know you're one of my landmarks. My family prayed that God would bring someone to these faithful people to lead them, to guide them. And we're thankful that God has brought you here, that you're carrying on the work. And we follow from a distance. And we're so thankful. And I'm thankful for answered prayer. And appreciate everything that you're doing, you and your family are doing here. And Jason, Sarah, I just want to spend just a little bit of time. I think some of what I'm going to say is going to dovetail pretty good, hopefully, with what Brother Edmondson has already shared with us. And even with what you just shared with us, if I was going to draw a timeline of my time here at Spring Hill Baptist Church, one of the first notations on that timeline would be you guys. I don't know if it was at the very day of our installation or there close. It was close. It was pretty close where you two introduced yourself, said that you were engaged and that wanted to get married and wondered if I would do the ceremony. And we started getting to know each other, and that did. That sparked a friendship from that point on that continues to this day. You brought up marriage counseling. I remember those sessions. And one of the things that I remember from the very beginning of those sessions is that I had always long held believed that God had reserved September the 20th as his day for all special people to be born. And I found a kindred spirit, Sarah. And that was one of the very first things I ever remember. It's like, wow, I'm not the only special one in the world. There's others. So you would come over our house. We had a whole lot of times that we would get together, and we talked a lot of things about those things in marriage counseling, money, family, jobs. Talked about how to have an argument, right, and still stay married. But you mentioned that one of the very first things that was very interesting to me as we began those counseling sessions is missions came up very quickly. Sarah, you had mentioned very early on how God had put this spark in your heart and that it was there for a while, and how God and brought Jason into your life, and Jason was open, right? Maybe a little bit different, and we began to pray and talk and started to think about what does this look like? What does missions look like for the Frazier family? When and how and with who and where? And we just started praying. Others were praying, you were praying, we were praying. You know, we were praying, God, please guide Jason and Sarah as they seek to make a life together that will bring him glory, and please guide them in their desire for the mission field. And I believe God started answering that prayer immediately. It was very first locally. You guys have been very faithful. You've been on mission at Spring Hill ever since I've known you. Sarah, you have been involved in all kinds of Bible school and children's ministries and youth ministries. And even Busy Dr. J jumped in with youth ministries. And God had you on mission here. He further expanded both of your missions minds and your willingness to serve by being involved in mission discussions and through mission committees and in leadership. Jason, you grew into leadership councils here, and Sarah in women's ministry. Jason, I watched very carefully and saw you grow in your great understanding, not in just the bigness and greatness of who God is, but your desire and your ability to communicate that. We watched Sarah and my wife and I as you fell in love with writing and sharing the deep things of God through words and how God has greatly used that. You've been on mission. One of the greatest missions God, I think, has called both of you to this point in time in your life is to the mission of adoption. You know, we've talked about that, and in our conversations, you said, look, I know this isn't everyone's personal journey. Personal adoption isn't for everyone, but it is for us. And I have to believe that that desire to adopt in you was a desire to make a difference in the life of someone who would not have had an opportunity, save for the adoption experience. That sounds an awful lot like the definition of a missionary to me. Someone who goes by the grace of God to make a difference in the life of others who may not have had the opportunity unless the missionary goes. So that's why we're here, right? God has orchestrated these events. The seeds of missions are now coming to bear, and it's now time to go. Spring Hill Baptist gathers this evening to send you and to say, it's time to go. But as you go, I would like to encourage you to go believing. As a matter of fact, I believe your going will be worthless unless you go believing. If your top priority in your going is to please God and to bring Him glory, and that is what your top priority should be, then you know that God teaches us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if this season of mission in your life is going to be fruitful to the glory of God, it can't be just about going. It has to be about going believing. Martin Luther is credited with saying this, faith or believing is a living and unshakable confidence, a belief in the grace of God so assured that a man would die 1,000 deaths for its sakes. The world teaches us that it's not right to put all your eggs in one basket. But faith in God says the only way to live is by putting all your eggs in God's basket. So Sarah and Jason, as you go, go believing. Go believing in your great God. This is where it's probably going to dovetail a little bit. I just want to quickly share with you three things I want you to kind of remember as you go and believe. I want you, first of all, Jason and Sarah, go believing that God is still sending. Much of your day-to-day mental spiritual health will revolve around this question. Are we supposed to be here? When times get tough and problems arise, the accuser of the brethren will no doubt try to get you to question your calling. In essence, your soul will be asked, is God still sending? Well, rest in the promises of God that tell you that God is still sending. Although there are many passages we could refer to, be reminded of the words in Romans 10, verses 13 through 15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You've been sent by God. Rest in that assurance. God is still sending, and he sent you. Secondly, Jason and Sarah, go believing that God is still saving. Much of your self-reflection after settling that, yes, we have been sent, will focus on, are we doing anything positive here? Are we making a difference? When times get hard, and the question of your mission arises, and the doubts come, the accuser of the brethren will try to have you question your very mission. Your soul will be asked, is God still saving? Well, rest in the promises of God that he is indeed still saving. We're not privy to God's timetable, but we must believe that Christ has not returned for his bride because he's still saving. In Mark's gospel, while Jesus is discussing with his disciples things that would happen just before eternity starts. He reminds us in chapter 13 and 10 that the gospel needs to be preached to all before he comes. Revelation reminds us that heaven will be filled with people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. The gospel is the only and still the penetrating aspect of your entire endeavor. The gospel will penetrate the souls of men, and God is still saving. What is impossible with men is possible with God. So go and rest assured that God is still saving. And finally, Jason and Sarah, you probably guessed this one right. If you've sounded to me the longest, right, give me my next S. Go believing that God is still sovereign. When kids are misbehaving and the counseling sessions seem to be going nowhere, when a professing new convert is struggling or even decides to leave the faith, when there are house repairs you can't seem to get to and math and science gets to the point of making homeschooling seem impossible, when the government finds their points of unrest, when everything is going sideways, the accuser of the brethren will no doubt try to have you question God's sovereignty. Your soul will be asked, is anyone in control of this thing? In those times, rest in the promises of God. He is always in control. Listen to the words of Isaiah 46, 9 through 11. Remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purposes will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east or the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly, I have spoken. Truly, I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Surely, I will do it. Jason and Sarah, God knows the exact number of days that you will spend on the mission field. He knows your exact successes and failures. He knows the good and he knows the bad. As one songwriter put it, there's not a place where I'll go you've not already stood. He is in control of your sending, its timing, its purposes, everything. He's in control of the saving. When things are haywire, go believing in the sovereignty of God. Andrew Bonar is credited with saying this about missions. God's part in missions is to put forth power. Our part is to put forth faith. So this is my prayer for you to the Frasers. I pray that you go, right? But go believing. I love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. The third speaker tonight is a gentleman that I've known and hold in high esteem for a long while. Brother Ed Groves is the pastor of Alderson Baptist Church, which I count as my home church from growing up. Brother Ed has been there for 30 years and has faithfully been an exegetical preacher of the word. And he is by far one of the most faithful and compassionate and loving men that I think I've met. Brother Ed would have us, whenever we were younger, to lead the Baptist Youth Fellowship, our youth group. And I remember him helping me through preparing a lesson to teach the other teens. Or we would go up front and do a devotional from the pulpit before church, just to get that sense of standing up here in front of a pulpit. And so he's been a mentor and a friend and someone who's been someone I hold in very high regard. I like to tell folks that I don't know anybody that I know that would have as much biblical knowledge of this as this gentleman. And he never went to seminary, and so he has self-studied and is just a good preacher. And so, Brother Ed, I really appreciate you coming tonight, And if you would come and we'll hear from you. Thank you very much. And his wife, Barb, has been able to join us as well.
I appreciate Dave being here tonight. It's certainly an honor that I was invited to come down and take part in the commissioning service here. And just thank the Lord for Brother Jason, Sister Sarah, and the way the Lord's blessed them and used them in a mighty way. And so we just thank God for the plan. I knew years ago the Lord had a plan for Brother Jason. I just didn't know what it was, but I believe God was going to use him. He has used him, and then there's more things I'm sure he's got in mind for him. And I'd like to read a verse or two here in the scriptures. And you think about, you know, changing your life, changing directions in your life as you go through. A lot of times when we just start out, God's preparing us for something that we don't know anything about. But however, though, we'll take off one direction, and then God will work in our lives, and he'll direct us another way, but we're able to use what we've already learned, you know, in that new situation. And I think of this in Matthew here in chapter 16. You know, Jesus said there concerning his, as he was there that day, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, said, "Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And see, that's one of the main things. We got to follow Jesus. We got to follow the Lord. When you take up that cross, that means that you believe he's worthy following. There's a lot of situations here on the earth, you know, we'll get involved with, and we'll take up our cross and follow him or her or that situation. They're not really worthy of that much devotion. But Christ is worthy of us following him. And then he says there in verse 25, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." And, you know, and that's a key in walking, learning, once you get saved, once you come to Christ, is finding the life that God has in mind for you, see. And, you know, the finish line's the same place, heaven. The only way to get there is through the door of salvation. That's Jesus Christ. But if you've ever looked at the side of a hill, especially this time of the year, there's lots of paths that go up the hill, you know, and finally reach the top. And the Bible teaches there in Hebrews over there in chapter 12 that God has laid a course before each one of us. And my course may not be as tough as yours, or yours may be tougher than mine. The key is we got to keep looking to Jesus, though, to finish the course in a way that would bring glory and honor to his name. And so he tells us here that there is a life he has in mind for us. The life that we pursue that's not in his will, we'll lose that. We'll lose all the gain and the fortune, and all those things will be left here upon the earth. Very well, we may be saved, but we're going to lose out on a lot of blessings from God. But if we'll follow the life that God has in mind for us, that life will not only be a blessing for us now and those about us, but it'll be a blessing in the life to come. So we look forward to what God's going to do, what the Lord has been doing. And I think of the Apostle Paul. He experienced this in his life, and in the book of Acts over here in chapter 20, God had put it on his heart to go down to Jerusalem. And everybody knew when he's going down to Jerusalem, he's going to face some tough times, just like it's been already mentioned tonight. You know, we know Honduras and a lot of those countries are pretty tough down there. And so Paul there, he kept talking to people with him, and the Holy Spirit of God warned him. He warned him about going down there, and I don't believe it's out of God's will going down there. God was just warning, when you get there, you're going to have some troubles, you know. That's just like anyway in life, you know, like you've heard here tonight, you know. There will be troubles and trials waiting on you down there in Honduras, but God is the same here as he is there. So we just got to keep looking to him, putting our faith and trust in him. Paul said right here in verse 22, Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things shall befall me, save the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. And so he was warned that there was troubles waiting for him down there. And the Holy Spirit of God had warned him, says, but if notice in verse 24, he says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And so when we think of Brother Paul there, and that's one of the keys in living our life for the Lord, our Christ has to be more dear to us in our lives. If our lives are more dear unto ourselves than the Lord, we never will serve God like God would have us to. But he said, my life is no longer dear to myself. What I want to do is please Jesus. And if you notice there, he says, I want to fulfill what God has called me to do. And what will happen is if we settle for second best and let the best go by us, we lose the joy in living for the Lord. We don't lose our salvation. We lose that joy. And he said, I want my joy to continue here as I go forth. And also the ministry. Notice Jesus gave him the ministry. Always remember that as you're all down there, you know, serving the Lord. It was Jesus gave you that ministry. See, it wasn't man. God may have used man. We thank God for everybody involved. But it was the Lord that put all this together. And so he's the one that ultimately we want to please as we serve God. Also over in Acts chapter 21, they follow on through this and he goes to another place there in Caesarea, and evidently they all gathered around, and the Bible teaches there that in verse 12 there, it says, and when we heard these things, both we and they, that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. So Luke now, if you know, said, we heard this. So Luke's saying, we heard what was being said there. And again, they're trying to persuade Paul from not going up to Jerusalem, because that just seems like the soundest thing. I mean, Paul was one of the greatest preachers of that day. I mean, how many churches, you know, God used him to establish, you know, great man of God. And everybody knows you go up there, they're going to kill you. And so then the scripture teaches here that there's this man had Paul's girdle and bound him up and said, this is what's going to happen to you when you go there. But listen to his answer. He says right here, and Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I'm ready not to be bound only, but to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And certainly that's the call of the missionary. The call of the missionary is if I'm called to go over yonder, if I die over there, let God's will be done. See, and that's the call that we have to have. And so it's, you know, we can't call ourselves to the mission field. It's more than having a burden. It's a call of God, a call to go do this work. And that we realize that even during what we're doing, if we lose our lives, and there have been missionaries that's lost their lives, and none of us want to hear this, but this is true. It's true. But it'd be better for those persons that have lost their lives serving God in his will, see, than living their lives elsewhere out of his will. See, and so that's always the big thing that hits everybody. And then Luke said, and this is what I believe we need to do, and I'm sure many of you have already done this, and says, and when he would not be persuaded, they realized that it was that God's hand was on this man. It was the Lord that had his hand on this. It says, when he would not be persuaded, we cease saying, the will of the Lord be done. And that's what we have to do. See, we have to be encouragers. The will of God be done, because that's the best thing for the will of God to be done. And so we need to encourage one another. There's all kinds of promises in the scriptures. And I know we just have a short time here, but let's read here in Romans chapter 8. You know, he talks about here about the love of God. And we always got to remember, you know, no matter where we're at or what we're doing, you know, nothing can separate us from God's love. And this is not talking about my love for God. It's God's love for me. Say, my love for God's up and down, but God's love is powerful. It's the same. It's based upon what Jesus did for us. And he says there in Romans in chapter 8, there in verse 35, he says to us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And you know, there's times that God will have us to do things, and surely we will think that if that takes place, terrible things might come out of it, but nevertheless, we humble ourselves and go ahead and do what God wants us to do. Now, you use that little phrase, sheep for the slaughter. Need to understand that. So you can have several sheep over here, and you can take one of them out right there and cut his throat, and it'll die right in front of these sheep. They won't do a thing. They'll just wait for their turn. But if you have some cattle over here and you bring a cow out here and you cut the throat of that cow, as soon as those smell the blood, they'll take off. They'll bolt, you know. And so the teaching here is this, is that we're trusting God just like the sheep before the slaughter. Whatever God wants us to do, wherever he wants us to go, we'll humble ourselves by his grace and go. Because we believe that his will is better than our will and that there's good that can come out of it, even though we may not understand it at the time. And he goes on, and Brother Paul says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then he says, for I am persuaded, means he was completely convinced, says that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's what we need to believe. That's what the Bible says. It's one thing, you know, you've heard people say, well, I know that's what it says, but I don't believe it. But guess what? That don't change it, because that's what the Bible says. See, Paul said he was thoroughly persuaded. We need to be thoroughly persuaded. And he took a look at a lot of different things there that might separate things. But he says, but it won't separate us from God's love. And God's love is perfect. And when Brother Paul went down there to preach, if you remember, it wasn't shortly after he got down there, and the Bible teaches that they tried to beat him up, and they put him in prison. And that night, while he's there in prison, all of a sudden the Lord, the Bible teaches, appeared to him and assured him. He assured him, you know, Paul, you're not only going to preach here, but you're going to go to Rome and preach. Amen. And we need to realize when hard times come, the Lord's right there. May not seem like they are, but we're not to walk by sight, see? We're to walk by faith, see? We're not to walk by feelings, because our feelings can be very powerful at times, and we can just be corrupt. You know, things low. Feelings are corruptible. But however, though, our faith, and we just need to keep putting your faith and your trust in God and remembering what he did for you the day he stirred your heart and gave you that desire to go that direction, put that desire in your heart to go and follow him and live for him. And last of all, we read this scripture here in the book of 1 Corinthians, and it talks about being our steadfastness. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You go down there and win one soul to Jesus, it'll be worth it all. Amen. But I believe there's going to be many more souls won. Maybe go down there and there'll be people that'll be, you'll help with surgery and various things that'll make the great difference in their lives and the others. You know, maybe it's just one or two, maybe a whole bunch, you know, but it'll be worth it all. We're looking for great things to happen. So we just thank God for you. Amen. God bless you.
Take a copy of God's Word, turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. I want to read three verses there in Hebrews 12, 1, 2, and 3. And I want to thank all who have spoken so far. Those are some really good challenges. I don't think I can follow that. That's really, really good. Bradley, thank you so much for making the trip down here. And it's good to see you again. Bradley and I met on the phone 4 years ago. He was supposed to come over here and speak for us one Sunday night, and Ella was born. I'm texting Bradley Edmondson at 11:30 at night. My wife is really sick. We're going to have to make an emergency C-section the next morning. I said, one of these days we'll connect. And we have through Jason and everything. But thank you so much and all you guys are doing. What a vision. I love guys with vision for the Lord. And Mark, it's good to meet you finally. Thank you for your words. And Brother Ed, that was really good. I really appreciate that. That was really good stuff there. Well, let's read Hebrews 12, 1, 2, and 3. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I go back to this a lot of times in ministry. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Father, we want to thank you so much for this commissioning service. Thank you for all that has been said so far. Lord, I pray you bless in these next few moments as we finish this service up, lay hands, commission this couple and their family to the gospel ministry, to the mission field. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the church. In Christ's name, amen. In ministry, since I've been in ministry, I want to tell you the things that I love that pump me up. I love it when people get saved. I love the baptized people. I love the disciple people. I love evangelism. I love sharing the Word of God, but most importantly, I love missions. Steffi and I both love missions. Several of our friends are missionaries. Several of our friends are pastors. We have several friends or lay people. We have a lot of friends, but we have a lot of missionary friends, and we love missions. We love to see the gospel go to the uttermost part of the earth. That's what it's all about. It's what the Lord instituted the local church for. But I love how Dr. Anderson said this about a year or so ago when he preached here at church from Appalachian. I never forgot this quote. The church is a distribution center, not a collection agency. I love that quote. Because when it comes down to it, the local church should be winning people to Christ. The local church should be discipling their own. The local church should be sending them out to do its exponential growth. And this is what this commissioning service is all about. In 99, almost 100 years in Spring Hill Baptist Church's history, we have sent out, this church has sent out several pastors, several missionaries who are serving. And may God be the glory of that. In Hebrews 12, Jason and Sarah, I'm going to preach to you too. And I want our church as witnesses. I want to preach to the church as well. But ministry's hard. Ministry is one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. I've worked a lot of jobs. Ministry is the hardest thing. That's what makes it great. The hardness makes it good. I love the hardness. I love challenges. Ministry is hard. I want you, as your pastor, as Spring Hill Baptist Church, want you to be resilient. I want you to be resilient, people. This is what this text is about, being resilient. It's the illustration of an athlete. On their mark, get set, go. They're going off on a race. It's not a sprint. It's a distance run. It's a marathon. Run the race that's set before you. The Lord has called you to Honduras. The Lord has called you. I know for a fact Bradley's happy that you're getting ready to go in a month and get everything started. It's seeing his vision come to fruition. In the midst of it all, I want you to be resilient. Learn to be resilient. And in this text, there are four secrets that I have learned in my life about resilience. And I want to share this with you. And we'll share this with our church because as people of God, we need to be resilient in Christ. Resilient people. What is resilience? They run the race set before them. They press on when the going gets tough. They start and they finish strong. When they fall, they rise up again. They grow through trials. They're mature. Resilient people, number one, are people who develop their character. When it says, we lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Think about the sin which does so easily beset us. That sin can hinder our character. Everyone in this room tonight have character flaws. We all are sinners. And when we're saved, we are learning to grow in Christ, and we all have our inconsistencies. We all have our insecurities. That's part of our brokenness. Learn to develop your character. I have seen over the years many missionaries quit, have to quit, because of character failings. I've seen many pastors quit because of character failures. When I counsel a young guy going into ministry, the first thing I say, spend time developing your character. As we're looking in Job on Sunday nights, everything was stripped away. He had his character and he had his integrity and he had his faith. Work on your character. In order to be effective in ministry, you have sins of the flesh and you have sins of the spirit. When you lay aside sin, sins of the flesh are obvious to all. Sins of the spirit, bad attitude, criticism, I can go on, bitterness, grudges, etc., etc. Ministry can do that to you on the bad days. Learn to develop your character, and as you grow in your character, you're laying aside that sin that weighs you down. Another thing about resilient people, not only do they develop their character, but secondly, they die to self. It says, laying aside every weight. What the scripture is saying is they're on the start line, and in that culture, in that time, they stripped off. They ran with nothing to weigh them down and made them faster, quicker. In today's society, in the Olympics, of course, they have specially fitted suits that make them run with the wind. But I thought about this, laying aside every weight, anything that will hinder you, any distraction that will hinder you. As it concerns ministry, I want to tell you, one thing that will distract you is yourself. Sometimes we get ourselves in the way too much to where God can't do anything. One of the greatest things I've learned, not only to develop my character in ministry, but to die to self. Die to self. It's the illustration of baptism throughout the New Testament. Paul says, I die daily. We must die to self. I've used this illustration several times. If I were to roll a dead man into this auditorium, and I would say to that dead man, you are the most despicable person that's ever lived. The world's a better place because you're not in it anymore. What's that dead man going to do? Nothing. He's dead. If I turn around and told that dead man, hey, the world is a much horrible, it's worse off that you're not in it because you were so great, you were so wonderful. What's he going to do? Nothing. The idea of ministry is you're going to get praised, you're going to get criticized. Learn to die to self. Ignore both. We don't deserve either. By the grace of God, we are who we are when we serve Him. Another thing I want to tell you about Brazilian people. Not only do they develop their character, not only do they die to self, but Brazilian people are faithful. They say, the text says, to run with patience the race that is set before you. Your race and my race are different. Everybody's race, everybody's journey, everybody's course is different. But you are to run that race with patience because it is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Because here's the thing. You will just get discouraged. It's not a matter of if, it's when you are discouraged. Because ministry will test your patience. Ministry will test every fiber of your being. The Lord will give you more than you can handle at times. It's in those moments He's testing you. He's developing your patience. Learn to be patient. I say that to say this. I've served the three churches now over 13 years. In that 13 years, I've resigned. I have quit pastoring 25 times almost. In that moment, you write that resignation letter, you quit, then you get up and go back to work next morning. Throw it away. Hit the delete button. Get it off your chest. Then focus on Christ, which is my next thing. I'll get to that in a moment. But we learn to be patient. You got to learn to ignore a lot. That goes back to being dead to self. And exercise grace. Love people. Be patient. Be patient. Be faithful. A fourth thing. Not only are resilient people develop their character, they die to self, they're faithful, but they're focused. Because the scripture says, looking unto Jesus. Look to the coach, man. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It says, unless you be weary and faint in your minds. He prepared the way before you. He prepared the way for all of us. He suffered on that cross and died for us. It's all for Him. And when we have to be focused people looking to Jesus, because don't focus on the situation at hand. Don't focus on the problem at hand. Don't focus on the pressure. Every day, every morning, spend time with Him. Spend time with Him. Don't read your Bible. Turn the cell phones off. Read your Bible to get something from God. Not to write something, not to share something in Sunday school, not to what exact. Just get something to feed your own soul. You need that. It recalibrates you. It focuses you. And we remember when we're talking about focused, because unfocused people are focused on self, are focused on everything, they will burn out. The Bible tells us not to be weary and faint in our minds. Focus on Him. Remember the goal. The goal is the gospel. The goal of the local church is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The goal of the missionary, the goal of the pastor is the gospel. Remember who it's all for, Jesus Christ. But most importantly, remember your calling. You know what got me up the next morning to go to work on those 25 times I've resigned? I've quit. I remembered my calling. Because my calling is in the fiber of my being. I know I've got a call from God. You've got a call from God. Remember your calling. In conclusion, these four things identify resilient people. Finish strong. Look back. Look back at what God's done for you. Look forward to what God's going to do. Remember, you have a church that loves you. And remember, most importantly, something I failed to do, and I've been meaning to do here lately, and I'm doing it. Always call home. Your mom and dads are going to miss you. They're going through, your moms and dads and your families are going through a tough time tonight, and they're going to go through a tough time on January the 9th. Take time to call them about once a week. All right? I just set aside one evening. For me, it's Sunday night. I call my grandma. I call people that, because I left Winston-Salem, I call them. I keep them posted on ministry. That's better than Facebook and social media. Make sure you call your folks. Well, with that in mind, we're going to commission them now. We're going to lay hands on them.